Today's New Testament reading is from Revelation, the first chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that soon must take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear, and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet, saying, Write what you see in a book, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and that those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Micah Glenn from Grace Lutheran Chapel in St. Louis, Missouri.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not the most diehard fan of baseball. I've lived in a city that has great baseball for most of my life, and that gives me an appreciation for the game. But there are other sports that I would watch first if given the choice. But when I hear the phrase, let's play ball, I think baseball. I think of the Cardinals beating the Cubs, not the Dallas Cowboys destroying every NFL team in their path. And I think that most of you would have the same reaction to the phrase, let's play ball. You think baseball is built into our culture. So what do you think when you hear the word revelation? Sadly, for many people, the word revelation only invokes fear. It doesn't take a lot of research and interviews to understand why people feel this way. Our lives have been flooded with movies, television shows, art, literature, and any other media source in existence that depict that word as an apocalyptic nightmare, when everything will be subjected to the rule of some extreme evil power. But this is a terrible misuse of the word revelation and completely removes it from its context. It's the equivalent of using the words let's or ball individually and expecting others to have a clear and honest picture of what you're talking about. If I only say the word play, I doubt you think baseball. The word revelation alone doesn't give the full picture, especially in the culture of the world. So then, what do you think when you hear the phrase, the revelation of Jesus Christ? In the culture of the church, these words together inspire hope. In the language of John, this phrase is a blessing to anyone who reads the words aloud and to the one who hears it. And it all has to do with the image that the words invoke, the image that Jesus has revealed himself through. When you think of Jesus being revealed, you think of his incarnation. You think of his baptism, where our Heavenly Father declares his pleasure in Jesus. You think of how Jesus healed the sick and afflicted. You think of how he comforted the brokenhearted. You think of his passion. You think of Jesus being betrayed with a kiss from one of his brothers. You think of his head being pierced by a crown of thorns. And you think of him dying on a cross. And in this picture, you think of him doing it for you. He did all of this for you. Jesus revealed himself through his gospel ministry so that you can be sure that your sins are forgiven. Jesus did this so that you can be reassured in the knowledge that you are reconciled to God through the payment of Jesus' blood. And this image of hope continues, because we know through the revelation of Jesus that he didn't stay dead in the tomb. He was resurrected to give us further hope, comfort, and assurance in what we have received through baptism, and what awaits for us in the future through the same baptismal identity, when Jesus will return to conquer death forever. The phrase revelation of Jesus does also, ironically, invoke images of destruction, as it should. It brings about the image of things that need to be destroyed: sin, death, and the devil. This is ironic because the image that causes people to fear the word revelation is the image that should cause them to rejoice. While there is still time, we need to let the love that comes to us through the revelation of Jesus overflow and shine to everyone around us, so that the wrong image of the word revelation is drowned for them, drowned in the same way that your sins and my sins, our fears and our afflictions are drowned, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, in his revelation, so that these words can be a blessing to them when they read them aloud and hear them. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We thank Pastor Micah Glenn from Grace Lutheran Chapel in St. Louis, Missouri, for today's meditation on God's Word.